We roll right through it. We're joined right now by a defensive tackle for the Detroit Lions. 11 years in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Selected with the 14th pick overall in 2012 by the Rams out of LSU. Michael Brockers is my guest. Big man, how you feeling? What's going on?
I'm feeling good. I appreciate you having me on again.
Always good to talk to you, dude.
Yes, sir.
Always good to talk to you. So how you feeling, man? 11 years in. Interesting year for you. Mm-hmm. You got banged up a bit. You're accustomed to playing more, but 11 years in, how you feeling about things? How's your head? How's your body? How's your mind?
Mentally, I'm free right now, man. I'm in a free space, man. I feel like, you know, just leaving the season like we did, you know, on a good note, you know, and a winning record for, you know, with the Detroit Lions and, you know, going into my entrepreneurship, you know, and just, you know, being myself, man. I'm free right now.
That's the most important thing, right? You are comfortable in your own skin. Mm-hmm, you are happy being you. That's all we could ever ask for. The Lions, dude, the Lions are fun, man. Mm-hmm. They are fun. They're aggressive. They're violent. They're exciting. You can't say that about that team very often. How much has that situation changed in the couple of years since you've been there?
Oh, man. I mean, obviously the first year was really rough, you know, going through that. But I think we, you know, those guys and, you know, us, we just had to learn that. We had to go through that. You know, you got to get your, you know, your teeth knocked in a little bit to understand what that feels like and understand you don't want to get that, you know, have that done to you anymore. So for me, man, I'm just excited to see what they have, you know, moving forward, because now it's not, oh, will the Detroit Lions win? Now it's an expectation, you know. Now everybody's like, oh, yeah, the Detroit Lions are this and that, and they're not the underdogs anymore.
How different is that, right? Like, you're not sneaking up on anybody. Mm-hmm. Now there is an expectation. I mean, you're hunting, but now you got a target on your back. How do you think this group will deal with that, and what's it like to deal with those expectations?
I think the growth of this team, you know, we started with a really young team. You had first to second year guys, third year guys, just, you know, trying to prove themselves on the field. So now they're established, and, you know, they're making a name for themselves. They find great athletes later in the rounds and young guys. So they're building a phenomenal foundation to have this team, you know, be good for a long time coming.
You know, when you talk about young players, you were part of a defense that had some really serious young talent, starting with Aiden Hutchinson. Mm-hmm. He's a finalist for Defensive Rookie of the Year. How good was he in year one, and how much better do you think he could still get?
Man, I make this comparison. I try not to make this comparison because it's so hard, man. But his mental fortitude, as far as like how he takes the game outside of football, you know, I compare it to AD. You know, I remember going, you know, early mornings, you know, watching film, and AD's in there before me. I'm like, how is this guy, first year, second year guy, and he's in here before me? But I just think, you know, his mental space is just, he's so more mature than, you know, the normal rookie that comes into the league. You know, normal rookie doesn't think about, you know, studying the opponent in a way that, you know, he was. And he was on top of it even before games. He was watching film. I'm like, don't overload yourself. But I just think it's the greatness in him that he just wants to be great.
Dude, how good is that when you have a young talent like that knows that? Like,
man,
you didn't have to teach that young buck that. He knew already.
He already knew. And that's what, you know, I just, you know, smiled and smirked a little bit, because I'm like, man, this guy has it. He, you know, he stays healthy. He has it. He has a great head on his shoulders.
Did you ever think you'd compare a young guy to AD?
No, never.
Hey, never.
I try my hardest not to, because you can't compare anybody to AD. AD is a phenomenal player. He's different. He's
Michael,
a freak.
Is he the GOAT? Is he the best?
He's a GOAT. In my eyes. That's biased, but I think he's a GOAT. You know, he has to be put up there as one of the best, obviously.
Oh, I think he's absolutely one of the best. And I think you can make a pretty good argument that AD is the best.
Right, he's the GOAT.
What makes him so? I mean, never mind the leverage and the skill and the technique. What makes him the GOAT?
His self-motivation, man. I've never seen somebody so self-driven to be great and just be good at what they do, man. You know, I told him the other day, he posted a picture of, he had his abs out. I said, bro, could you just relax? Could you just go back to being fat and just so I can relax? You're like, we're the same age.
Because he's making
abs.
You feel like, bad about,
yeah,
you, right?
Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, just.
You got to stop getting into your phone, dude. I'm fascinated. I'm fascinated by athletes at the highest level that no matter what they've accomplished, you know, how much money, how many wins, how many accolades, that somehow it doesn't matter, man. They're still running on that fuel.
I don't
what
understand
is that?
That. The Tom Brady just continuing to play. You know, you've won all these, you know, awards and trophies and championships, and I don't, what's driving you? And that's what I wonder sometimes, like, what's driving
you? Do you know the answer? What is that?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I know there's a difference. I know there's a difference between seeing a guy like AD, you know, hearing stories of Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and, you know, what they did and what they sacrificed to be great. And you see, you know, similarities in what these guys do.
Dude, would you argue that even Patrick Mahomes has that? When he's out there with a high ankle sprain, he can't do much, and he's just still out there, man.
Right.
What's
right.
putting him out there?
It just shows, man, the love for the game, man. He wants to give his all for his guys. And when you have a guy like that, I mean, you know, you'll run through a wall for him. So, I mean, his team has bought into him as well.
So, Michael, where does that leave you? Like, you've had a really nice career. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, you had an ankle injury, so you didn't play as much as you normally play. But you're still just 32.
Right.
How are you approaching the offseason, and what are your thoughts about next year?
Man, I'm approaching the offseason like I always do, man. You know, definitely got some, you know, things going on my side as far as business-wise. But working out, you know, training as if, you know, I'm playing next year. And just, you know, wherever the cards lay, you know, that's what's going to happen. But I don't have any you know, thoughts of what's going to happen. I just know what I can control, what I can control, man. That's it.
Do you have the same drive and the same passion for business and some of the entrepreneurial things you're doing off the field as you do the game itself, or will nothing ever compare to that, and will you not bring that same intensity to it? How do you approach that?
I think it helped me. I think playing in the game helped me for business. You know, building a team and being on a team and understanding that you have to do your job. You know, everybody has to do their job to make this thing work. And I think being on, you know, on the NFL team or being on the team in general helps me in business. So I think, you know, they work, you know, hand in hand.
The thing I loved about the Lions at the end of the year, so Seattle beats the Rams, meaning the Lions were officially knocked out of the playoff picture. At that point, some guys might mentally check out, might say, for who, for what?
Right.
That's not what that crew did, man. You guys go into Green Bay, knock out the Packers, end their season. What's that say about the character in that room?
Man, you got a lot of guys who's already bought into what Dan Campbell just is selling, you know? I don't think anybody watched, you know, the Rams game. You might have had a couple of people peek at it a little bit, but I think, you know, just how laser focused we were.
That's
all just
to me.
Winning the
really,
game.
You guys weren't watching that game?
No, we weren't watching the game. And I was a guy kind of sitting back like, let me see if anybody will kind of check out if they find out, you know, the whole situation. And I swear to you, everybody was locked in, ready to go, just ready to win a game. We weren't focused on, because we can't control that. We can't control who wins that game. We only can control what we can do, and that we're going out there winning that game.
Right. You can't control what happens in that game, but you can control your reaction to that game.
Right.
The reaction
exactly.
might have been, for who, for what? We can't go, but that was not the mentality.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Why was it? How much of that was we want to stab them in the heart and knock them the hell out because they're our rivals? And how much is we want to do it for ourselves because we need this win going into the offseason for the momentum and the culture?
I think we just wanted to show that the first time wasn't a fluke. You know, it was a lot of people talking about, they were hurt and didn't have receivers. He didn't have his guys, this and this and that. I think, you know, a lot of these guys just wanted to show, like, that first time, you know, we beat y'all at home wasn't a fluke. And we went out there and we did the same outcome, you know, the same result. So I think for ourselves, we were just trying to prove it to ourselves, like, we can get this done.
So, dude, you mentioned Dan Campbell. I want to ask you about him because you've seen everything. You're an old school, old head NFL guy. Man, you're not going to respond to bull crap if it's bull crap. What was your reaction to him when you met him, and what kind of an effect did he have on you?
I mean, he was a real guy, man. I mean, when a guy goes through this league and becomes a coach, you know, he doesn't forget what that's like. You know, he doesn't forget, you know, he was sitting in his seat at one point in time, you know, injured or going through a situation where he doesn't know if he's up or down. He understands that, and when he can, you know, be honest with you and tell you, like, hey, to be honest with you, I don't know if you're going to be up, I don't know if you're going to be down, whatever, and come to you as a man instead of you finding out last minute or just, you know, somebody just telling you it's just a situation, and he can come to you and let you know, like, hey.
Straight up, right?
Straight up. I think, you know, coaches that can be straight up with you, guys respond better to that, you know. Guys are now knowing, you know, nowadays are more personable. They want you to be more a little bit more personable with them instead of, you know, treating them like, you know.
It's not that old school Parcells kind of thing anymore.
For sure. No, it's not that, man. You know, you definitely got to be in tune with your guys.
Michael, one last thought. What about Jared Goff? Like, Goff kind of reminds me of Geno Smith in the sense that we wrote him off, but he ain't right back.
Right.
Like the Rams gave up on him and left him for dead. And I got to be straight, man. I thought, they wrote him off and left him for dead for good reason. I cannot believe the way this guy rebuilt himself, bounced back the year he had. What's that say about his heart and his grit?
Ah, man. For me, he always handles these situations like he does, man. He's a cool, calm, collected, you know, Cali kid who, you know, long as the sun comes up, man, I can have a positive day, you know. And he doesn't let all that outside noise mess with him. I really thought it was fake. I thought it was fake, but it's not fake. He doesn't really
crack back on us Cali people, man. Y'all are fake. Y'all are soft.
Right, laid back.
But we got some grit, too, now.
Yeah. Come on. You got to understand that.
You thought that was fake?
No, I didn't.
From him?
No, not at all. Because, I mean, the way he handled it, it's like...
No, you said you thought it was fake at first.
I mean, it's just... You think it's like... You know, the way you handle it, you expect somebody to react. But, you know, when he doesn't even seem like he notices, you know.
His reaction, right?
Yeah.
That was his reaction.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm cool.
Yeah, I'm cool.
I got this.
Yeah.
Like, I got this.
Yeah, I got it.
All right.
Know?
That's his demeanor.
That's his demeanor. Like, yeah, I got this. Okay.
That's his reaction.
That's what they say. Okay. I got it.
I got it, man. I appreciate that. This is why we got to do this. You and I got to run each other down no matter what every single year.
Yes, sir.
So you stay close. We'll see what happens next year. But no matter what, you are always welcome on the show. I always appreciate you.
I always appreciate
the energy, Michael. Good to see you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
Great talking to you, as always. All right. There we go. Another big one from the row.